Uncanny Valley. Uncanny Valley.
Alright, hello and welcome to the Uncanny Valley Remastered Episode 20. I am your host, Tom, version 0.1.22474487139... A.K.A. Tom Shaw.
Totally random number, he said. Like, that whole thing when he made the title for that, Mr. Taro.
Yeah, I have no idea. I don't know if it means anything yet. Yeah. Maybe it does.
I guess.
I thought it was like the square root of pi.
I have no idea. I just read an interview where he was like, well, it's version 2, and he's like, I chose this number because it's just...
Because weird. I'm a silly man, and I make
silly...
Because
I'm a silly dude, and I wear a mask.
Math guys, wee!
He's Emil, pretty much, right?
I don't know. Well, the...
Where's the Emil?
The character came first.
The character, okay, gotcha.
Yeah. Yes, and that guy you hear, right, is, co-host, Derek Draft Day Holberg.
What's
Derek,
up?
Number one draft pick.
The number one draft pick. I'm the franchise player here.
There you go. Franchise. The franchise.
The franchise. Sanchez.
The Holchise.
The Holchise. Oh, man.
And,
hey, what's up,
everybody? Yep, what's going on? And we also got the Los of Us, Carlos Benitez.
Hey, how you doing, everybody?
Scott.
Good.
He's got his twisted tea. He's ready to go.
I can see your TV reflection in your window.
He's got something on there.
Can you see what I'm watching?
Looks
though?
Like he's watching, like, Baby
Looks like
Muppets
a
or
commercial.
Like that.
That's what it looks like.
Or is it?
Now I'm really trying to, like, see what it is.
Just fucking watching, tell me what it is. Me.
It's just YouTube. Watching a Wham video. I always have him up in the background.
Cool.
You say Wham?
Wang. That's the guy's name, Wang.
About, the dude with the mustache.
I thought you meant Wham music videos.
I'm just watching Wangs on TV. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay. All right, and this is a video game podcast, so that's
sure
what we
is.
Do here. Discuss the latest and greatest in the world of video games, and usually start off our show with some news, and so that's what we're going to do today again.
Hooray.
And, I guess a couple of days ago, it was Judgment Day.
Judgment Day.
Do-do-do-do-do.
Yes, and so the good folks over at RGG, we'll just say that, RGG
yeah.
Studio, the Yakuza guys, they had a little stream, and they announced Lost Judgment, which, we all kind of saw coming with the trademarks leaking out and all the speculation. But it's been confirmed. Sequel to Judgment coming out. A worldwide release, September 24th.
Their first worldwide release, I think. That studio. I think that's what I've heard.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, I mean, that's cool. We don't have to wait over here in the West. Nice.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing the voice acting again, which I still feel like is not necessary.
I don't do it. Yeah, I just it's just a comfort thing, I guess, with that series now and that developer.
Yeah, I wonder if if there's like numbers on like how many people play the localized version with dubs versus subs, and if they're looking at that data,
Sure, I think it's just like I don't know. That's like my anime preference too. If I'm watching that, is like, I guess that maybe that factors into it. Like if you're more of a dub person or a sub person, I don't know. Could, right?
Yeah. Right. Yep. But, that's cool. September for that. And they were also talking about how Judgment going forward will take the place as the brawler that they're working on. So the Yakuza games are going to be remaining RPGs for the meantime. So.
I guess that makes sense because of that whole character thing with Ichiban, right? Like in Dragon Quest, so it'll stay like that.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Makes sense.
Yeah,
I think that game, the series kind of needed a change too, right? Like, they wanted to, I guess, move in a different direction with it.
Right.
It's really good, though. You know, worked out.
And I think they don't want it to be too similar, because if you got two games set in Kamurocho, one's Yakuza, one's Judgment, it's like...
Well, now it's... Why it did, looks why like do we have they're two? Moving towards Yokohama now.
Mm. Well, they're basically just doing the same thing they always do, where, like... They introduced a new city, and now we're going to use this new city in all our games. Like, we have another city to draw from.
Yeah, exactly.
We have more assets that we can reuse here. And, exactly. Yeah, so Lost Judgment will be taking place in Kamurocho and Yokohama.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I'm excited.
It looks really good. That was cool. They showed a little bit of gameplay for it, too. Looks really good.
Right.
I don't know. The combat looks really good, too. I enjoyed the first one.
Yeah, I really like First Judgment. And I'll be interested to see if they go further with like the detective stuff and even like the courtroom stuff. Because like, they kind of just like threw that in there in the First Judgment. It's really not a very big part of the game.
Yeah.
Or at least not as big a part of the game as you would expect for the the subject matter of the game.
Looks like still have the tailing stuff in there. Some of the stuff with the, like the tailing missions and stuff were like, meh. They were like, okay, I thought.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I know what you mean.
Right. And so, just the mention that them coming out and saying that Yakuza will be RPGs going forward is kind of confirmation that there will be another Yakuza game. And it will be probably starring Ichiban. So almost like, announcing the game without announcing it, kind of,
Sure.
And, I still hope we're getting, maybe a remaster or a remake of the, Kenzan and Ishin games at some point.
Yeah, I hope so. It seems like that is it's the right time to do it now. It's kind of at the height of its popularity right now, right? Or maybe it could go higher, I don't know. We shall see.
Yep. But
that would be very cool.
So, yep, definitely looking forward to Lost Judgment. And, in other news, kind of some bad news here, I would say.
Yeah.
We got news, Activision taking some resources away from one of their smaller studios again. Toys for Bob suffering some layoffs and... kind of being called in to help support Call of Duty. And Toys for Bob, of course, the ones responsible for Crash 4. And I think they also did CTR and some work on the
Skylanders series.
Right. And I think they supported on with the Vicarious Vision stuff.
Yeah.
With the Crash remakes and the Spyro remakes. And... Activision put out a statement saying that they'll continue to support Crash 4 while helping with Call of Duty, which is really not my concern, because, Crash 4 is already released. My concern is that, there's rumors that they're supposed to be working on Spyro 4, and so if that's not happening because they need more, help pumping out Warzone content, that kind of pisses me off.
That sucks.
Yeah. Because they said Crash 4 sold underwhelmingly, which I'm kind of surprised by, because like, I feel like it was pretty popular when it dropped, but apparently a lot of it had to do with the fact the Switch version wasn't ready for like 6 months. So they're thinking like, if it had a full multi-plat release Switch version included, it probably would have done much better numbers. I'm only even saying that because I'm assuming the Crash and Spyro collections did well on the Switch. Like, I get it, younger demographic and everything, but like, it's surprising. I thought a lot of people were hyped for it. I thought it was a good game. Super hard.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, it seems to just be following the trend that they're, this is not the first time that Activision Blizzard has done this.
Nope.
Did the same thing with Vicarious Visions, a few months ago.
I really wanted a Underground remake. That would have been amazing.
Oh, sure. God. Yeah. So, I don't know. That's sucks. Disappointing. And, it's always like one of those things where like, people say, when a big company like Activision Blizzard or EA, EA does this a lot, But when they acquire smaller devs, you know, it's like, oh, you know, it's going to be okay. They're going to function as they always did, you know? And, you know, yeah, shit like this ends up happening. So
that's the famous last words every time, like, you know, we hear about, like, oh, no, they'll be totally autonomous and doing their own thing. And, yeah.
Yeah.
Then they end up producing for Call of Duty or something.
Yeah.
Or Battlefield with EA's case.
So that's disappointing.
Yeah, that sucks. You know, I think this is like an industry-wide thing that's going, like any of these like big live service games are getting a lot of, you know, with these huge companies, they're getting a lot of attention because they make a lot of money. So, I mean, it sucks, but it makes business sense for them. And, you know, it is what it is. But, yeah, I'm upset with that, too. It sucks.
Yep. I mean, you just look at Take-Two and Rockstar, basically, you know, just GTA Online has always gotten, and you know, we got our Red Dead 2, you know, but you know, the last
still, you're
decade,
not getting releases that you want, you know, it's more and more shifted to what do you call it? Just supporting that stuff. You know, Warzone, of course, because everybody plays that, you know.
Yeah.
Is Warzone, I mean, even really what that game popular? Is
Warzone?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's pretty popular. Maybe in just my circles, I just don't hear people talking about it.
Yeah, but we don't play it that much, but it's definitely like a more mainstream. Like when somebody says like, "Oh, I'm into gaming too," and I'm like, "Oh, what do you play? I play Warzone." Like, you're like, "Okay."
Yeah, you just took the two most popular genres, COD and just Battle Royale, fused them together.
I guess there is
sold it for free.
There is no way it wasn't going to work. I guess, right?
No, yeah, it's too popular of a franchise,
right?
And like, to just see, be like, all right, let's just shift all our resources towards this. This is what's really, like, you know, driving our business. So it makes sense, but it's just, it sucks. Like, as a person who wants more, you know, original IP and stuff, it blows. But, or, you know, obviously these companies make great remakes too. So, I mean, yeah.
Yep. So still hoping that Spyro 4 happens at some point in the near future. But
maybe they'll buy another small indie dev and then just ship it over to them. I don't know.
just get somebody else to help with. Yeah. Kill another studio.
Kill another, like, promising studio. Exactly.
Yeah, maybe they can. Yeah. Anyway, got some PlayStation news this week. As we normally have some PlayStation news. Seems like there's always a good amount of PlayStation news in the cycle.
Yep.
And got some news here that they're going to be partnering with Discord to bring the service, integrate the service into
that's cool.
onto the console in by early 2022. And I mean, I know that I don't really use Discord, but I know it's very popular with the young people. So
popular platform, definitely.
Yeah.
Did they try and buy it? Like, that's what I heard too. Like, they were trying to buy it or something.
Well, I know at least Microsoft like a month or so ago.
Microsoft
It was okay. Microsoft Not who is in talks to maybe purchase Discord outright. And so this is a bit of a 180 here. So yeah, they resisted the urge to be sold. And now they're just partnering with PlayStation. So yeah,
it's crazy how Microsoft can just be like, we can buy anything. Like, it's insane.
Well, yeah, they could.
They have the money, so it doesn't matter. Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, I wonder how it'll work, the integration. If it'll just be, I don't know, kind of like part of the UI, or will it take place of, like, the communities that we used to have on PlayStation? And, I don't know.
Or yeah, it'll be like interesting to see. Maybe it'll, like, pin up some Discord communities that you can join or something like that. Yeah.
I guess it does make sense because they did shut down like PlayStation's version of communities that were on PS4. So if they're just kind of replacing that with a Discord thing,
the user base is already there for Discord. So if you just integrate, I guess, you know, that makes sense, right?
Yeah, and I guess that also kind of paves the way for more crossplay with PC games.
And, oh my god, crossplay on a PlayStation? No way.
Like, well, there's a few games that do it already.
There are a few. I'm just being being a stinker.
Being a Derek right now.
Being a Derek. Negative Nancy.
Yep. And go ahead, Derek. You gonna say something?
I don't have anything to say. My mind's empty right now.
Okay. All right, and we also got news here that there may be a redesign for the PS5 entering production in 2022.
This is interesting. I didn't see this article. This is, yeah. Go ahead, Tom.
And did anybody read this article?
I read it, but like, it's interesting to see that they're like trying to change with this like silicone crisis that we got going on.
Right. So. Seems like it's just a pivot to deal with that situation, right? It's not like
it's like a creative solution to like deal with the the semiconductor shortage,
right?
Just changing the architecture like a little bit so it's smaller, I think, or something. That's what I read. I mean, they said supply problems until our fiscal year ends in 2022, so that's disheartening.
That's everyone.
I mean, I have one already, so all right. It doesn't affect me, but I feel bad for people who are like,
I mean, that's the weird thing about the weird thing about the supply issues are that they're still setting sales records. Selling at a higher pace than the PS4, even the PS4. So there's already like 8 million PS5s out there. So it's kind of weird how everybody's just like, oh, I can't get a PS5. Well, like, who has these PS5s if nobody has them? You know. Yeah.
I like showing it off. I'm like, oh, I got one, dude. Like, they're like, whoa.
Yeah, but like,
it's like the unicorn. Like, they've never seen it before.
Just you and 8 million other people.
Yeah, exactly. It's not even like I'm special or anything like that.
People have them.
Yeah, no, exactly.
So,
and still, it's just people want them. I guess that sucks for Sony. Their sales numbers would be astronomical if, supply was meeting the demand.
I gotta wonder what their software sales are like, though. Even with the hardware selling so much, but apparently nobody having one, like, what is the attachment rate for, like, a PS5 right now? Like, one game per 8 consoles or something?
Yeah, I don't know. I know they there was a news item I saw concerning software sales, but I don't have it on this outline. So,
oh no, Tom, you gotta add things, dude.
I did see something that was showing favorable data about their exclusives, and people are. I think Miles Morales in particular did very well on PS5. So
that's good.
Yeah, and speaking of PS5's exclusives, there's a report that Epic recently offered Sony about $200 million to start bringing their exclusives to its store, and it's unclear whether they accepted that deal or not. Seems like they have not
yet, right?
But it's definitely an interesting development.
Is this more that's coming out in the court proceedings?
Yeah.
Yes, this is from those documents.
Something else too. I didn't put it in the outline, but it was like they showed like unreleased games and stuff that like are supposedly coming out. Right?
There's a lot of like weird,
a lot of weird stuff coming out of it that's being exposed, which is pretty interesting.
I know it said that like they paid Sony like a pretty decent chunk of change to get cross play off the ground. So like they get Fortnite and I guess whatever other crossplay going. It's like, hey. Like, Xbox and Nintendo apparently were on board. It's like, all right, yeah, do whatever you want. And Sony's like, you gotta, how much do you want that cross-play?
It's crazy to me the amount of money that is being thrown around, though. Like, this is, like, revealing.
It's those Fortnite bucks, man. They could just throw so much at it. Apparently the Epic Game Store hasn't even broke even yet. Like, they're in, I don't know, what was it? They spent, like, $300 million, maybe more, on it. On exclusives and things like that.
Wow. Yeah. That takes a lot of money to break even when you're playing with those types of numbers and stuff.
Well, going to court with Apple probably doesn't help the bottom line.
No.
I mean, they chose that fight.
Hiring, like, a team of lawyers and stuff like that. Yeah, it's got to be super expensive.
But, I know we have Days Gone is coming to both Steam and Epic. So that would kind of point to no deal in place as of right now.
Yeah,
but,
so it's coming at both.
Yeah, Sony clearly does have interest in bringing some of their titles to PC.
Which I'm fine with, too. Like, I know people, like, throw a fit about it every time, or just people who are into that console war fucking bullshit on Twitter.
Which I'm not.
Which I'm not either. I don't give a shit.
Oh, man.
If it runs better on PC, that's awesome. You know, let more people experience the game, right?
Man, Twitter sucks with that stuff. I don't know.
Twitter really sucks with that stuff.
Twitter
makes me so
like,
angry
somehow, like, just gets that in front of my face somehow. Like, I'm just browsing Twitter and, like, Twitter
thinks,
like,
oh, you like this?
Oh,
you
want to see this? Like, no. Why are you always showing me this stuff? It's just, like...
This stuff is so fucking disheartening, and it just... It's like the fucking dregs of society talking about this shit.
Like, yeah. But it's like, there's, like, Twitter accounts where it's just, like, some dude who talks shit about Xbox all day. And he's he's like a general in like the Sony army.
It's,
like,
this is a real person.
Yeah,
he's a general. Yeah. He's the fucking console war general.
He's been there since the PS1 days, bro.
Like 10,000 followers, and all he does is just like post like the dumbest shit. And like,
it feels like mid-2000s shit. Like I remember like the console wars back during like when everyone was playing Modern Warfare 2 on the Xbox. And it's like, I kind of thought we outgrew that stuff, but I guess social media just brought it right back. It's like,
yeah, exactly.
I'm a Nintendo warrior for life, man. I'm never going to get these Sony consoles. You can't even play Mario on them. It's like, it's fine.
It's like, what, dude?
Like whatever you like. It's like, you don't see, I was about to say you don't see car brands doing that, but that's a total lie. People got arguing about what their car is better or whatever.
But it's just like, don't you have like different like priorities than that to like argue about like which, I don't know.
I feel like some people
like stupid. I guess people like stand like they really, you know, they'll stand up for a brand that they want,
yeah,
you know, or something like that.
I was gonna say that like some people have nothing going on that they attach themselves to a company, whether it be like video games,
yeah,
or a musician or I don't know,
sure,
pack of underwear or something. It's like, that's how they
put some Fruit of the Loom fucking like,
yeah,
people out there.
Some guy got
a pair of thieves guys hate them.
Yeah. This guy made a funny post for Fruit of the Loom and they retweeted him and that was the best moment of his life.
Yeah, I stan pair of thieves. That's my go to brief.
I just get the pack at Target. I guess it's Fruit of the Loom.
I'm a Hanes kind of guy.
Yeah, you guys should invest more in your undergarments.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
change your life.
Pay for quality and probably feel more comfortable during the day, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep. Anyway, I think that's probably just like a... you know, what it really is just like a generational gap.
Yeah.
You know, we're getting up there in age, and like most of these people are.
I don't got time
teenagers
to argue about. Yeah,
yeah.
Like, fucking, I'm just gonna get both of them and play every
right,
one of them
because
like,
we can do that.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
We can buy both.
Yeah, you're not a 15-year-old who's like, oh, what should I get, bro? The PS5 or the Xbox? Like, which is better?
My mom's boyfriend can only buy me one, so
my stepdad can only get me one.
Okay, all right. Oh, seems like, man, we're, yeah, okay.
No, I didn't have a stepdad. I'm just, I don't know why.
We're like, we're attacking
we're
somebody very
we're
specific.
We're attacking
right
divorced
now
kids. Like.
Okay. Anyway, moving on. We got news that some more companies are joining. We're going to be participating in E3 2021 here. And so we got.
It's growing.
Square Enix jumping on board, Gearbox, Sega. And who else we got? Turtle Beach, Xseed.
Nintendo's going to be there.
Oh, they
right
are?
Yeah.
Yes. Already right, confirmed. Good. Nintendo, Xbox, Take-Two. So, yeah, we got right pretty
looking
much everybody.
Like a legit, yeah, legit E3, I guess.
We
so
did have
everybody outside of Sony.
And
yeah,
one other company, we had a very big withdrawal. Konami, no longer going to E3.
Oh, what?
I know.
Really?
I was so excited to see Revengeance 2, the pinball game, but I guess not. Very disappointing.
Pinball, or what's the
pachinko
machines,
yeah,
right? Yeah. I just love that they made, like, you know, people like oh, make MGS3, like, HD. And they did it, but it's a pachinko machine, like, or something. Do you ever see that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me
like
ask you guys a question. Do you guys even know what pachinko is? Because I don't.
I do.
It's like, yeah, I sort of
do. How do you
go
play
ahead, Carlos,
pachinko?
You know what it is.
It's like, it's funny. I learned it from like an episode of Power Rangers. It's kind of like, what's that thing called? Plinko? You know, where like you drop the ball and it goes through the thing? I think that's the same exact idea, but you get like a bigger payout of the little metal balls, and then you just keep playing. So I think there's like a value attached to it.
But how do you turn that into a Metal Gear Solid game?
Well, you know what it is? It has like a little video screen. So when you're playing, it'll play the music and it'll show scenes. So like if you get a certain score, it'll be like, oh, like a snake's attacking machine. A guy or something.
Yeah, it's an like a pinball
machine. It's a pachinko machine with an FMV attached to it. I don't really know. I guess it's popular in Japan because Konami apparently makes tons of money off of it, which is mind-blowing to me. But
yeah, I guess
it's gambling. Yeah, because you're dropping the balls, right? And you don't know where they're going to go, kind of.
Right. I guess don't see how you turn that into like all these different types of pachinko machines if they're all just doing the same thing, but they just have different movies playing. Like,
I guess there's a niche to it. Like,
just think of pinball, dude. Like, that's like,
well, pinball is a game of skill.
No, but he means like the themed pinball machines, though.
But I mean, like themes, but like, you know, like they have tons of themes for pinball machines.
What's the difference between a Ghostbusters 1 and a Rocky 3 pinball machine? You know, it's like,
yeah, they all have the same mechanics to them, right?
At most the layout is different, I guess.
Yeah,
but I don't like the analogy.
No,
there's a lot of different things. I feel like you guys are pinball novices speaking right now.
I don't even know anything about pinball. But
I like the one that came with like Windows XP. What's it called?
The Space Cadet one.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah. When you didn't have internet that day.
Yeah.
Just fucking tilting that thing. It's a step up from Ski Free, right?
From what?
Ski Free? You guys mess with Ski Free?
I vaguely remember Ski Free. Is that the one where the little Yeti can come out and kill you? Or is that, I'm thinking of something different.
That is Ski Free.
Yeah. Yes. That's just terrifying.
Yes.
Was that just a Windows pack-in too? Or is that
I believe so.
Okay. Never played that one.
That and Minesweeper.
Minesweeper, yeah. The classics. Solitaire.
Right. But
Solitaire. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
So yeah, looking forward to E3 2021.
Yeah, let's look okay, actually.
Yes.
Eager to see if we get like you know, cuz it's all virtual, right? So hopefully maybe we get some demos out of this. I don't know. Hopefully. Be cool.
I guess we'll have to see. We also got some news of Electronic Arts making acquisition here. And acquired the folks over at Metalhead Software.
Oh, good old Metalhead. Yeah, I know that.
Who are the guys who worked on the Super Mega Baseball games.
Ooh.
So, right, I think we talked about Super Mega Baseball last week.
We did.
Or something like that. Yeah.
Or one of these weeks.
So,
we did. Good game.
Yeah, recently.
Good game.
But, yeah, those are good games. And, it makes sense for them to, you know, scoop them up. Hopefully they will be employing them to make similar games like that and not just absorb them into their the
sure.
massive
sure
wait didn't we just talk about this we just talked like, yes. This is what's gonna happen. They're gonna get shifted to Battlefield 6 like,
oh god.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, all right, make the battle royale for Battlefield 6. So
yeah, they're being absorbed to work on assets for Battlefield.
Or Madden Ultimate Team or something.
Yeah.
Make some cards.
Yeah, yeah.
No, that's good. EA hasn't had a baseball franchise in how many years? I think it's 2005 was like the last one I played. I was like 15 when they lost that license, I think it was.
Yeah, I don't even remember what their last one was.
It's been a while. Because the show has been the only game in town for a long time.
Right, but even before that, it was 2K Baseball, right?
2K, yeah.
And then, I don't know, I guess, do you have to go all the way back to Triple Play for the last, like, EA baseball game?
Now I gotta look it up. It's just been so long because they lost the license, and then they were like, yeah, I remember, like, a news article, like, you're not gonna see a baseball game from EA for a long time. I guess it went over to San Diego, right? They got the license. Studio San Diego.
But, yeah, so we'll see if we get a Super Mega Baseball-esque game coming out of EA Sports.
And sorry, MVP Baseball
2005. 2005, wow.
Yeah.
And I'm vaguely, like, seeing that that like logo in my head now.
Yeah, MVP, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
But I don't think I ever even played that. Like,
yeah, I remember playing it for like, I think it was the original Xbox, so it's been a long, long time. So we'll see. Hopefully they can create something. Maybe it'll be more like arcadey stuff, which I'm fine with. Like we were talking about, that baseball game is really good that they make. So we'll see.
Yeah, hey, and yeah, maybe they'll just do another revival of all their like arcadey sports games again.
Sure.
With, bring Blitz back again.
Oh my god, and, yeah. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, maybe they got them working on a new Slugfest.
Ooh, Slugfest would be good too.
Yes.
Those are some good games. Or some NHL hits too.
NHL hits. I did not play that one. I don't think.
They're all like the same vein of like Blitz sort of titles. So.
Yeah.
All pretty fun.
All right. We also got a new trailer coming out for Final Fantasy 7 Intergrade. Showing off more of the DLC there. Seems like in addition to Vice, Nero will also be making an appearance, who's also a Dirge of Cerberus character. I don't know how to feel about that. I guess they're really going for it. They're really going for it with all the compilation stuff, it seems like.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, well, you know.
He's just a fight, right? I mean, as long as...
Is it just one of the VR fights, too? Or is it...
It's starting to feel like...
The dude with the...
The black mask on him.
The yeah. S&M mask on him. Yeah. Or something.
Yeah, it's starting to feel like it's not going to be just a VR
yeah.
fight. It seems like...
No,
they're,
that looks
they're really
like story
gonna...
content. Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially and, with Vincent probably showing up in the next part.
Yeah.
I'd welcome
yeah.
Vincent coming, though. Vincent is a cool character.
Yeah. You know, it would be kind of cool if they could still keep it to where those characters are still somehow optional. But I guess they couldn't really pull that off, you know?
Sure.
Yeah. But, yep. And so we also got Nomura talking about Part 2 a little bit, saying that Part 2 is going to pick up right after the end of Intergrade. So there's no time skips or gaps. It's just can pick up right where the DLC ends. Said it's going to have a different atmosphere from Part 1, and Cloud is going to be running in the wilderness in the sequel. So
yeah,
hopefully that means they're going to have some more. They're going to try to do some more like open areas. We'll see, you know, how fully they like attack that and try to get that into the game. If it'll be like a completely like open world sort of thing, or like more of just you know, like larger just open areas, you know.
And they kind of did that right in Remake too, like, well, not like open areas, but like cities like you can explore. So
yeah, I mean,
smaller.
Part one like, was kind of linear when you think about it, with just the paths and
yeah,
you know, it's a lot of corridor running. You know.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, it made sense for Midgar. Like, it wasn't out of place for that setting. So, I don't think they could necessarily get away with trying to do that for, you know, the rest of the game. So,
yeah. Yep.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see, you know, how far they take that and if they scale back some other things, you know.
I kind of hope they don't pad it out. Like, I think the biggest criticism with the first one was just that the side quests felt kind of pointless. Like,
they were padded.
Like, they
yeah.
just wanted to get that 40-hour runtime when, honestly, I don't have a problem with a 20-hour runtime for $60, you know? So, like,
yeah.
maybe something like that, if you're going to put the side quests in, make them feel useful, like the Chocobo races, for example. Like you're accomplishing something instead of, like, go to A to fight B, then go talk to C.
Yeah, it's just, like, very, like, lackluster, right? Like, unimaginative stuff.
Right, and I think they've introduced, apparently, Fort Condor is like, a weird, like, little video game
little
that people
game.
Play.
Yeah.
Instead of being, like, a full-on, like, well, because it is a mini game in the original
it
game.
It could be
it's,
a place,
it's an RTS,
though,
yeah.
But, like... In that world, it's supposed to be like a real battle taking place. It's not
yeah. It's not a, just a game.
It's important to the story is what you're trying to say. Yeah. Here, it's just...
Yeah.
Play the new Fort Condor game.
Right. Yeah. So,
you know. It looks fun, though. It looks interesting to me. Yeah.
I mean, it would have been more interesting to me to see how they would have done, like, the actual Fort Condor remake. And hopefully we'll see having, that, like, you know, they could have spent a lot of time in, like, an RTS setup on that mountain and stuff. But, I don't know. I mean... It just seems like one of those things where they couldn't like invest that much time into like such a small part of the game.
Yeah, they're like, we got to keep moving on this. You know.
Yeah, but yep. So looking forward to Intergrade, and yep. I forget when that's coming out. Pretty soon, right?
June, I think, beginning of June. I want to say like June 5th or something.
Oh wow!
June
7th. Like right next month.
Yep.
And that's the same thing with the PS5 update for it, too, right?
Yes. Well, yeah, it's only available. Well. Yes, it's only available on PS5.
Wait, Intergrade?
The DLC. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, you have to get the PS. Well, I think it's a free upgrade if you already own the PS4 version.
Right? Well, the PS5 upgrade's like free if you have the PS4 version, but I think you still have to pay for Intergrade.
You have to play for the Intergrade, though.
Right. Okay. But the DLC is only on the PS5 version.
Yes.
Really?
Yes. So.
Interesting.
June 10th. So, coming right up.
And, yeah, apparently overall development for Part 2 is going smoothly. So.
Good to hear.
Whatever the hell that means. I mean. You know, who knows when that game is going to come.
We're going to get a trailer in 5 years, guys. It's going to be great. Kingdom Hearts 3.5, something mixed over that will come out first, of course, but it'll be exciting.
FF7 Intergrade Part 2, like, will come out or something before Part 2.
Inter-er-grade.
Inter-er-er-grade.
Yeah, I hope we get some more details about how the progress is going to work, if it's because, you know, I lost my save, so I don't know if I'm going to have to play through Part 1 again.
Oh, that would suck. Well, I mean,
yeah. It's not terrible. It's a great game, so, I mean...
Well, yeah. But like, I had, you know, I did everything. Yeah. You know, I had the cool shit.
Yeah.
I had the, there's, like, a cool accessory that would just charge your limit break. Like, you would start every battle with your limit break, which is kind of OP, but...
I think I had that, too, eventually. I don't remember, though. I was, like, halfway through hard. I should keep doing that.
I was gonna go back once the PS5 version drops.
I mean, I got so many games right now. Yeah. I can't just...
Yeah.
And, got a lot on my plate.
Right. And, yeah, I think that's going to do it for news. And cool. We're going to take a quick little break here.
Breaky break.
Welcome to the Uncanny Valley Remastered, episode 20. And that's a Returnal joke, because we're going to talk about Returnal. so, yeah. Yeah, we're going to talk about what we've been playing, and I've been playing Returnal.
Oh, my God.
And it's awesome.
It's, good game.
Every bit as good as I was hoping it was going to be. And, so, yeah, if you don't know what Returnal is, it's a... A third-person shooter roguelike from Housemarque, who up until this point were like an indie dev making smaller like arcadey games, like Rezogun for PS4 launch was just like a really really cool shooter, and they made some other games. I think the first game they put out was Super Stardust, mm-hmm. which kind of put them on the map.
Yep,
and they made games like Nex Machina and Matterfall. A lot of games were just like a bunch of like particle effects, like really cool particle effects and like lasers and
Rezogun was crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, this was their first attempt at like a big AAA game. And, man, I am impressed.
Digging it.
I'm impressed. So for one, man, it just feels awesome to play. Just like the controls are like so tight and fast and like, it just feels great.
Absolutely.
And it's just the traversal, just how fast the character's moving and like your dashes and man, that combined with like the visuals of the environment and like bringing their pedigree of making really pretty particle effects, it just there's just like so much going on, and it's just it's pretty crazy once like everything is happening and like
I haven't gotten to those pretty like insane, but I've seen it just from clips on Twitter and social media of it just looks like fireworks going on, like it's crazy.
I'm trying to like attack this in multiple stages here, but visually looks really good. The environments look really slick. I guess like maybe her character model doesn't look that great, but the environments look awesome, and like all of the different like enemy attacks coming at you, like it just looks like this is like the first, like this is a a PS5 exclusive game, and it definitely looks and feels like it.
Yeah,
definitely. And I would say so.
Yeah, they're doing a lot of cool things with the audio design as well. I have a Pulse headset that I've been using, and it takes advantage of the 3D audio on there. And that, in combination with everything they're doing with the DualSense, it's just... it's hard to describe, but it's just like... it's such a next-gen experience, putting all those things together. The DualSense, not only does it, it has the little speaker on it, so it's making all this, cool noises and stuff, but just like the haptics in there, the things that it can do, it's really incredible.
The rain really stuck out to me. Yeah. It was like insane.
The raindrops are the thing that people have been bringing up a lot, which is definitely crazy. And if you're just sitting there, like you get out of your ship and like the rain's coming down, you feel it on a controller and you feel it in like the 3D audio, it just feels insane.
Incredibly immersive. That's the first thing that struck me when I fired it up at midnight, that when it came out, I was like, holy shit, like this is pretty amazing. Just reiterating kind of what you said.
Yeah, a couple nights ago, there was like an audio glitch going on, so I muted my TV for like one of the rooms, and I was just listening. If you just sit there and like play the game for like 10 minutes and just listen to all the things that the controller is doing, it's insane.
Yeah, it's like making like actual like noise. Exactly.
Yeah, like it's making noise not even just from the speaker, but just from
the haptics.
It's so cool.
Like the actual raindrops from the haptics sound like raindrops. Like it's pretty
insane. Like
I don't know how they do that.
Yeah, I don't understand the tech fully. I guess like I don't know where it's coming from. Like what the
it's magic. It really seems like it.
Yeah.
I feel like this is the game outside of Astro's Playroom that just shows what the DualSense is capable of, and I think it's setting the bar pretty high for what other games should be doing with this controller. Like I'm like trying to think of something that isn't like immediately copying what this game did, but like imagine the next like God of War, same thing. Like you feel the rain, you hear all these sounds, you feel like the axe as you're throwing it and stuff like that. I think like like Tom's saying, like this new immersive experience might be the what next gen is going to be. This
it should be. Yeah, exactly. I think that it's quickly define like the controller is the most next gen thing about,
because we're hitting like a peak where like graphics could only get so much better, so like this is the way to expand gameplay is just like be immersed in it,
make it more immersive. The 3D audio, I want to try out that. I do have a 3D audio headset, so just want to try it. You said it's pretty amazing, so
very intense.
And from a gameplay perspective too, I've heard that it definitely helps you out.
Just with the just like the spatial awareness, knowing where all the
and that's so important attacks are coming,
and it's also just the not only sound effects, but just like the sound, like the soundtrack to the game, and just like the ambiance and everything. Like in the, it just it's got like such a like weird, like cool, like creepy vibe to it. They just nailed everything about like the visuals and the audio. It's just so much fun to play.
The tentacles too, I'm gonna say, are very next gen. A lot of tentacles in it. And
so,
which is cool.
So let me ask you, how long have you got, what's your play clock looking like for this game?
Haven't played a lot of it, so I've played enough to kind of speak to the immersiveness of it, like you're saying, but I'm still on the first biome. I think I'm like 5 hours into it, really. I've been playing just other games, but those 5 hours that I played, it's, I can say, like, once I get to it, I'm going to be pretty immersed in it and really like it.
All right, and Carlos, how long have you played?
I'd say probably about the same, 5 hours. I made it to the second biome. You know, I agree. I like the look. I like the difference in it. I like the boss. I mean, this is like straight up 3D bullet hell. I don't know if one of you guys said this or if someone else said this online. Like, if you made the game like top down, it would probably play just as fast and the same. But like that first boss, like going through all of these patterns and then watching him get like progressively stronger as like I dropped his like whatchamacallit health bars. Like, you know, obviously bosses do that. You know, their attack patterns change. You know, oh, second phase is starting up, kind of stuff. But like, I don't think I've ever been used to that for the first boss. And then again, you know, I've never done it towards like a bullet hell type experience in 3D, at least maybe outside of like Nier or something.
Right. And I think it's cool that it feels like just such like a natural progression from like what they were doing with their smaller games. Yeah. And just bringing that to like the AAA level. Yeah. And
translate it really well.
I played it a shit ton this past week. I think I have like 25 hours in it or something.
Nice.
But yeah, so the game is a roguelike. It is very difficult. And so I was also like, when I was around like the kind of like the 5 hour mark, I was very discouraged because I liked the game a lot and I wasn't making any progress. But I just had one of those runs where like everything started to click. And I finally got stuck on that first boss. And it's just one of those things where I beat the first boss and then I guess continued on the same run. I guess went through the second biome, beat the second boss, third biome, third boss, because all in one sitting. And so
yeah, you're texting, you're like, oh man, because this game did have the it has the controversy of like you can't save in it or something, but that's just that's a roguelike.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
yeah.
The only thing that concerns me is the crashing, and that's what you were concerned
about. And forced updates too,
right? And so that did the crashing did happen to me once, which sucked. I was on like in the middle of like an hour and a half run when the game crashed on me, which sucked. But I was like, okay, I'm the very next run that I went on was the one where I beat the three bosses.
So good.
But yeah.
What's your favorite weapon? Sorry to cut you off.
Okay. So a lot of the weapons are really cool. My favorite weapon, I don't know if you guys have gotten it yet, but it's called the Hollow Seeker.
No.
Which is it's just like an alien looking assault rifle, but you know, the cool thing about all the weapons is that they have like secondary abilities that you unlock with your uses. And for the Hollow Seeker, you know, they have, you're shooting your normal ammo and then like energy beams are shooting out, and like,
holy shit. Nice.
It's got like homing missiles coming out at the same time. And the coolest secondary ability I've seen so far is called the portal beam, which is just like you'll be shooting an enemy and then like a portal will open up and just laser beams start shooting up.
That's pretty awesome.
It's just fucking,
that is pretty
sick.
Awesome, it's, dude.
Yeah, there's a bunch of cool shit like that. But but yeah, so I rolled credits 2 days ago, apparently there's like still some secrets to be found and there's like a secret ending, so that's what I'm working on now.
Cool.
What's
the story to it? Like, does it?
Is it okay? I mean, the story is, pretty. I think it's kind of standard for like what you would expect them
like
to do with a sci-fi
like
loop.
Horror-ish. Yeah,
yeah. Like, you know, they're exploring the things you would expect them to do with, a loop involved. You know, I mean, not that they're not executing it well. I guess
that's
been,
what I heard.
Like,
I thought it was good. So.
Yeah, I haven't been like surprised by, you know, what I've seen, but it's just a good execution on the idea.
Cool.
And they have these segments where you you encounter her house, and you go in there, and there's a bunch of weird shit happening, which are, you know,
still locked for me every time I see it.
You have to find the key for it.
You gotta find the
key. Yeah, first you have to find the key, and then the rest of the times it's like tied to your progress.
Is the key just randomized too, or is that tied to progress?
I think it dropped off of a mid boss. Like an like I think it was like an alpha. I don't remember exactly where the key itself came from.
Those alphas are no joke though. Even in the beginning, like I dropped down into one of those like trapdoor things. I guess they're like bonus rooms.
Yeah.
Just like an alpha. I was like, oh fuck. Like, I'm done.
Right. Yeah, I think you could definitely find that key before you beat the first boss. I know that.
Cool.
But yeah, and like, but once I got past that initial wall that I hit, started to like really get into the roguelike elements of it. And like, once you like fully understand all of the systems at play, and you can walk up to an item and be able to like assess whether or not you want to take the risk on this item or not, or like whether it's going to help your playstyle, or like whether it's going to be good for you like at this point in your run, or whether you should save it for later. Like, that's like a really cool aspect.
It is, yeah.
Like kind of balancing like
the risk reward, right?
Right, and so you'll find little parasites that you can attach to yourself, and they'll have one benefit and one detriment, and like one negative effect, and you're balancing all these things, and
the malfunctions too, right?
Yeah, so you'll find items that are like cursed, and I have a chance of giving you a malfunction. And there'll always be like some like task you got to complete to get rid of the malfunctions, and there's always, you know, you always got to assess the risk involved, whether or not you want to pick up the item and risk a malfunction or not.
Sure. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And there's a couple points where it gets frustrating, because it's just like, it's so fun to play, and you just want to keep playing it, but you hit these walls where like you just kind of have to walk away because you're just dying over and over.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like, so that's kind of where I'm at right now, because I'm trying to get through this like end game content, but I'm just getting my ass handed to me, and so I just gotta.
Oh man.
Kind of dial it back a little bit. You
got to do your patented Tom 1 to 2 runs a day, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think that's a healthy amount.
It is. No, that's great. You don't want to drive yourself nuts with it.
Yeah.
So.
And I do definitely understand the complaints about the no saves, because these runs definitely can get very long.
Yeah.
Because, you don't, when you beat a boss, you don't have to go and beat that boss again. But if you're going to be prepared for the second level, the second biome, you're going to have to pretty much clear out the first biome again anyway. So. Yeah. And each biome, I mean, you're looking at least a half hour, if you're going to be very meticulous, probably like 45 minutes. And so, if you're making a run where you're trying to get to like the boss on the third biome, and I don't know if this is a spoiler to say, but the game is kind of broken up into acts. So when you get to the third, like the first act ends at the third biome, there's like a force loop there. So if you're trying to get to that third boss, you're going to have to run through the entire first three, even if you've already beaten those first two bosses, you're still going to have to go through those areas. And so, you're looking at, upwards of over 2 hours kind of, if you're trying to finish.
Yeah. It would just be nice to like be able to save, like, and be like, all right, I made it to the second, like,
or just a quick save, you used it once and you can't use it again.
But it's up to them, really, if that's not the design they want.
I mean, if there is a way for them to protect that save to where it couldn't be abused, because, if they just let you save, there's going to be a way for people to abuse it. We're just like, I'm going to upload the save to my cloud, and if I die, I'm just going to pull it back down,
Yeah.
Well, that's why I said quick save, because, like, it's by design supposed to delete itself after you use it. So I don't know if a quick save can be abused with the cloud, but. Or maybe a one-use item, or even an auto-save after you've already used it up.
Right.
Something, yeah, that makes it finite, so.
Yeah, it would be nice if you just said, I want to play a different game right now, so I want to quick save and switch over.
That's why I don't want to go back.
And not lose all your progress, yeah.
Right. And, really, really loving Returnal. Definitely my game of the year so far. I can definitely say that.
Okay.
Just an awesome game, and
it's cool.
Man, when I was playing it, I was just thinking, like, man, what if, like, can you imagine if, like, Mass Effect was, like, this fun to actually play?
You know? Andromeda? Like, are you
yeah.
yeah.
I mean, it, everything fits, like, space third-person shooter.
Yeah, no, it definitely has has those, the hallmarks of that game, too.
Yeah. But it just, it...
It plays so much better, though. Yeah,
there's no
exactly.
comparison. No comparison at all.
Definitely.
So, yeah. Yeah, and I know it was kind of in the news because of some issues with, like, the patches. I know a bunch of people's saves got corrupted.
Yeah.
Didn't happen to me, but...
thank God.
I got a random bug after the update. Like, the first room locked on me, which doesn't mean anything because I was fresh off of death, so I'm like, I guess I'll restart again, and then...
I had that, too, where just the door wouldn't open. Did you have that?
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's like, for me, it just happened on literally the first room, so it's like...
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay, whatever. Just restart.
Right, so I didn't have that issue, but, yeah, I can definitely see how that would be frustrating if that happened to you.
Yeah,
totally.
Especially in a game like this, like, if you worked, you know, for hours and hours trying to get past the first boss, and you finally did, and then your save got corrupted, you know... That would suck.
Yeah, that would be bad.
Yeah, so my heart goes out to all those affected, but wasn't me. But yeah, still going to be working on Returnal for the next couple, at least the next couple of weeks probably. But yeah, really, really digging it. And what else have I been playing? Played some more Nier Replicant.
Cool.
Nice.
Not too far in it, probably like 5 or 6 hours, but you know, still very chill game. Still
it's so chill. Yeah.
Still enjoying what I've seen so far. Haven't seen anything that really is too much different from the original yet. Derek, I know you've been playing a lot more of this, right?
Yeah, I'm at like the 12 to 13 hour mark now. So I'm starting to hit... I think I'm almost done with the first playthrough. I have to be. Right? I don't know.
Automata, like, you hit the first play... finished the first playthrough at, like, 10 hours, I think.
Yeah. I have to be getting closer because sad shit is happening right now.
You would definitely know if you were at the end of the game.
Yeah. For sure. In those types of games, yeah. Because you're like, ooh, wow, what the fuck?
Well, I mean, did you, without spoiling anything, did you get to, like, the big twist yet?
Nothing too twisty yet, so maybe I'm approaching it right now. I just got up to, well, he's older now. I'm up to that part.
Okay, so there is a time skip, yes.
There's a time skip, and what did I just finish the other night? I just got past where Kaine, I just got to the forest, and I just did that. I'm getting the pieces for this thing.
Did you do the, like, the text-based adventure kind of
I
part?
Did enjoy, okay. I actually kind of, like, enjoyed that. I just love this game because it just, the same thing with Automata that I liked was when it just changes perspectives and it changes to a whole different game. Did the text-based adventure when you go into the lab with Emil and it just turns into, like, an isometric, like, twin shooter kind of thing. That was really fun. I just got up to the forest, so...
All right, well, I'm
I know you're
saying,
talking about this right now. I played it, too.
If you haven't gotten to the twist yet, then you're probably not near the end. So.
Okay. Yeah, no, I don't think I'm near the end yet. So I'm going to keep playing it.
Yeah. And, not too far, but, we'll definitely get back to that some more, probably next week.
Are you liking the combat, or is it, like, just meh to you?
I think
it's, like, okay, it's serviceable.
Fine. Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. I mean, they improved it, but it's still not the appeal of
when
the
when you have the option for, like, an auto battle, like, I don't know, I think that says, like, volumes about it.
I haven't tried out the auto battle, but...
Yeah. I know they have it, though.
I mean, you don't play Nier for the combat.
No, you play it for that fucking heart-wrenching story.
Yeah,
like...
you play it for the music, you play it for the story.
Oh, God, and the music. Mwah, so good.
Yes.
Very good.
Yes. What else have I been playing? I let my Game Pass lapse.
No.
Just because I just got too much shit to play, man. You know, yeah. I just
it's time.
Yeah, and yeah, you know, I like Game Pass when I'm going into it with like a very specific game in mind that I want to play. Like it's great for that, but when I'm just like bouncing around and I'm playing like 20 minutes of like 30 different games, it's like, what am I even doing?
Yeah, you're not getting into one. Yeah,
yeah. I like the feeling of like, you know, completing games and like sure. finishing things, and you know, same. Like I did that, you know. But yeah, I just you know, don't have time for Game Pass right now. Not that I don't like the service, great service, but didn't feel the need to continue subscribing. But yeah, I did come away with like I got like $42 of Microsoft credit right now.
Jesus just Christ.
The rewards.
Yeah, the rewards are so awesome, dude. Yeah, you could just get like a nice little gift card or something.
Yeah, I mean, if I wanted to, I could just continue to
rack them
fund yeah. the subscription sure. with those reward points.
Yep.
But yeah, maybe if my plate cleans off a little bit later in the year or something. But yeah, did keep my Gamefly, which I originally kept for Returnal, but I ended up me and Chris ended up buying Returnal outright, so I needed a new game to request from them, and so I moved the Pathless to the top of my list, and that was like a kind of like an indie-ish game. I think it was a launch game for PS5. Do you guys remember seeing like trailers for this game?
Is that
yeah? This is the one with like the crazy movement and the hawk.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
Like,
yeah.
Shooting the arrows and stuff.
Yeah. Right. So it's like a really like stylized, not like cell shaded, but like I don't know. It's like
definitely in
like
that vein of art style,
kind
of.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, but yeah. So the game is like you got a little hawk and you got a bow and arrow and you got a dash button and like. The majority, like the main mechanic for the game, is you're dashing through this forest, and there'll be these like floating eye targets that you got to shoot. And every time you press L2 to dash and R2 to like target these little eyes, and every time you shoot an arrow at one of those things, it'll fill your dash bar. And so you're basically just continuously dashing through the forest and like shooting these things, and it keeps refilling your dash. And it's just like a very fluid movement mechanic, and feels like. You know, it just feels good to play.
Yeah.
And so the way it's set up is where you'll be put in like a big open area where you gotta like, you're like surfing through the fucking grass, and there's like little puzzle elements where you gotta, you can do little things with your little eagle or hawk. I think it's an eagle. But you can like tell him to like pick up like these like weighted objects. And you kind of make him, like, bring it over, and you, like, solve puzzles with him. And, you know, it's, like, very, like, light puzzle-solving stuff. But, you know, it looks really good. It looks really good.
Yeah, that's what the art style is so striking. The boss battles looked, I think I've just seen trailers of it, and a little bit of gameplay, but the boss battles looked pretty cool.
I just did the first boss battle earlier today.
Is that that fire thing?
Was
that
yeah.
Yeah, that was the one that looked pretty cool.
And so, yeah, and like the battles, you don't have like a traditional health bar. So it's more about just like, you know, doing whatever boss mechanic they want you to do without messing up, you know. Like you're not going to die. It'll just like kick you out and you got to start the fight over. You know, it's pretty much just like puzzle bosses, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't look punishing. It looks like very maybe not relaxed, but it looks very chill, like the way you kind of go through it and move through the forest, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if you would call it that. Yeah.
I would.
Yeah.
And, just a cool little game. It's supposed to be on the short side, so I'm trying to kind of, like, push through that.
Sure.
But, just got through the first little section of that. I think that's all I've been playing. And so, Carlos, what you been playing?
Been playing Returnal like you have. I don't really have much to add to that conversation. Made it to the second biome. Feeling pretty good about it. Like you said, when you got that perfect run is really when you start to enjoy the game, and that just reminded me of Hades. Once I got that Hades, perfect run, it's like I just got into that roguelike elements and I just started to understand it. One thing, I guess you didn't really, since you brought the comparison to Mass Effect, in a lot of ways, I kind of want, like, the next Metroid to be like this. It doesn't have to be third person, but, like, if you can get Zamas moving fast, you can traverse the areas. It doesn't have to be, like, a roguelike exactly, but, like, if you can get it just like this, because it always has its alien worlds. I feel like it's been, like, years since I've played Metroid Prime, but, it always felt kind of slow for, like, a first-person shooter. Maybe that's just me, or maybe I'm too used to Doom. But if the next Metroid just moved like this and looked kind of like it, obviously it's not going to be as good because it's on the Switch. That'd be crazy, especially in first-person.
It's like a cross between this and, I'm just thinking now, like, Other M. Like, or something.
Yeah. Kind of yeah, Other M was definitely...
Like, a better story, obviously, than Other M. But,
Other M wasn't...
Yeah, I think I would like that.
Yeah, I feel like the gameplay wasn't as bad as people made it out to be. It's just... Yeah, the story is just...
Well, it's Team Ninja. Yeah, they did... It's not too bad.
It's just... the story was just terrible.
It doesn't fit. Yeah, the story is terrible, and it doesn't... It's a little too fast, I think, for Metroid. You want a little bit of a slow...
Yeah. Kind of, I think, pace. They tried to...
Slower.
Yeah, they tried to merge the two styles together, but they didn't really do enough of either, so it's just like...
They tried to make Ninja Gaiden Metroid, sort
that's,
of.
That's the best way to put it, I think.
Yeah.
From there, I did another run of RE4, like, in anticipation for Village, which is, like, my main thing for the weekend. Fun game. I don't really need to add much to it. I'm sure you guys have played RE4 at this point. I just kind of forgot how clunky it is compared to, like, the more modern Remake 2 and 3, because, like, A, I forgot it was technically tank controls. B, aiming feels awkward as hell just because of the way the camera snaps on to, like, Leon when he's aiming. And, the game feels long. This is something I'm going to slightly bring up in Village, but for Village, it's not really a critique. RE4 feels so much more padded than I remember. It's like, okay, bad guy steals Ashley, and then you spend 2 hours dicking around, and then you finally catch up and catch Ashley. I'm like, and I'm like,
yeah, you're just in that village for like 2 hours.
Not even that. Like, even in the castle, there's like parts where like,
oh, that's right. Okay.
You're just going through the dumbest shit, and in my head, I'm like, this isn't hard, but good God, I don't like this. I'm like trying to speedrun. Like, I'm thinking RE4 is like not this perfect game, but like this great game in my head. And I'm like, man, there's some real dated things on it. There's some real warts on this game that I just did not remember.
It's old now, and yeah, it's up there in age. And
it's like what 2004, so like what 17 years old now? Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
but a good game, you know.
I know, it made me feel old too.
Yeah,
Holy shit.
It was fun to revisit, but it's interesting to see how far this series has actually come since 4. It almost makes me think that maybe a remake wouldn't be so bad, but I'm still on the fence about that. Other big thing is new Pokemon Snap. It's fun. I didn't really think... I never really stopped to think what much more you could do with the Pokemon Snap formula. Because, like, the original game, it's a two-hour game. That's it. You could rent it from Blockbuster.
Yeah, it's just an on-reel.
Yeah, on-reels, like, take photos. Like, there wasn't really a lot of objectives in that game outside of, you know, taking photos of the Pokemon. You unlock new items so you can reveal new Pokemon. There was, like, alternate paths, but... That really just unlocked a new level. It didn't really unlock anything major. This game takes that blueprint and expands it a lot. So, like, first is, like, every biome has a day and a night cycle. So, like, it looks completely different. Completely different Pokemon come out depending if it's day or night, you know. Just like real animals. they got this thing called Expedition Points. So, basically, we're in the original Snap. It didn't really matter how good of a photo you took. All that mattered is that the Pokemon...
It was just like a center.
Exactly.
Yeah, right?
It just had to be in the picture. And this one, you're rated on the quality. So how much of it's in there, what action it's doing, what other Pokemon are in there. First, you'll get like a rating for it. So 1, 2, 3, or 4 stars. You have to get all 4. So you have to come back and take multiple photos. From there, each star is ranked. So it's bronze, silver, gold, and diamond. So again, that's just more points, best photos. You can post them online to flex on all your friends. But but you get expedition points for that. So what happens is your rank goes up, and you could play the same level again at a higher rank, but then suddenly more Pokemon start showing up. So like they'll do different actions, or you'll have to do different things. Same idea, you have new items to unlock. So they took the formula, they expanded a lot, they make photos feel meaningful, like they actually matter to the game, as opposed to just being like, you're a bird watcher and you're just like, I found a cardinal today. Woo, yeah. Kind of thing. So I dig it. It's there's not what I would call a challenge to it, because it's just an on-rails photography game.
You're just taking pictures.
Yeah, like, I think the only thing that irks me is they have this request system. It's not really mandatory. It just unlocks little frames or titles for your character. It's just the requests are very obtuse, and you have to be very specific in your actions to get the Pokemon to react the way the request asks. So it's like, oh, can you take a picture of this guy jumping up in the air? But you don't know where to find him, or, I mean, you do if you look at the picture, but you don't know how to get him to do that action. So it's like, it's one of those games when you're doing certain things, you're probably going to have to go online or just do trial and error. But otherwise, you know, fun, casual stuff. It's definitely already better than the original. I could see this lasting maybe about 10 hours. I'm only about 4 hours deep.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, yeah. Can you take your game. Pokemon Snap? Can you take your Switch to some store and have it print out the
picture? Well, you can't take it to a store, but there is a 3D printer accessory that they're selling for the Switch. I don't know if it's been released yet. That will let you, through Bluetooth, I guess, print out your pictures in little stickers.
Wow.
Is that,
okay.
Is that for real?
It actually is for real. So they are making a thing to do it. I don't know if it's Japanese exclusive or not. Like, I saw the thing pop up for it. I'm assuming they'll sell it in the U.S. because kids will buy it. But yeah, it's kind of funny. I think, I forget who it was. Someone on Twitter posted that they repurposed one of those Blockbuster Pokemon Snap kiosks where you used to go and print out your thing, and turned it into like just a TV for like the Switch one. I don't know if it prints stickers or not, but I'm like, all right, I don't know how you got your hands on this, but that's pretty cool.
Yeah, right? Like, where did you get that? Like, some eBay, like, some weird auction or something.
They borrowed it from the last remaining Blockbuster in the world.
That's right.
I don't know where it is.
It's in Oregon.
I kind of want to go visit that, just to be like...
I just watched that that dumb, really bad...
Documentary
about it.
Oh, it's not good? I actually wanted to watch that.
And no, it's not very... You know everything. Right now, you know everything about that story that you're gonna know by
the documentary. Is very like, what did you think about Blockbuster when you were Blockbuster was always, and they just get a bunch of famous people, like, oh yeah.
All you need to know is that there's one left and they still rent movies and
they still do the things that Blockbuster did.
Yep, it's still there.
I guess it's working for them. I can't critique
they
that.
Have their own beer there or something.
I've seen that before.
Yeah, hey.
Like that movie could just be a tweet.
Literally.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
The way you describe it sounds like one of those, you remember VH1's I Love the 90s? Where it's like, you got like...
It's like that.
C-list stars
like
telling you
like
about how their glory days was in that one episode of like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air or something.
Like, yeah, I remember Hammer Pants, like Parachute Pants or something like that.
Got Moraka talking on about people.
Moraka's like a legit journalist, though, on like...
Is he? What?
On CBS Sunday Morning. He's like one of the core.
Is that his real name? That can't be his real name, right?
That is his name that he uses. I don't know if it's like a pen name.
It sounds like
the real name that he uses.
He's Moraka.
That sounds like an alternate skin for Baraka.
Moraka.
Alternate original character, do not steal.
He doesn't have blades, he just has Marakas, like, or something.
Musicality.
Yeah. Shouts out to Moraka.
Moraka.
But yeah, new Pokemon Snap. Fun. Not for everyone, but if you need to just turn off your brain and relax,
cool.
Good game. And then the big thing I've been playing this weekend, Resident Evil Village.
Returnal? You already talked about Returnal.
Okay. My personal big game, sir.
Okay.
But I dig it. RE Village is doing... It's a lot of things at once, but it's very cohesive. Like, the best way I want to compare it is, like, did you guys play RE6?
Yeah.
Okay. So, like, in RE6, you know, you had the different campaigns or different protags. So you had Leon, Chris, Jake, and then Ada. And each campaign is supposed to basically play, like, a different Resident Evil. So Leon was more traditional because you had the zombies. Chris was, you know, Gears of War, basically. Jake is more like the nemesis you're getting chase type. And then Ada is kind of a weird mix of all of them. It didn't really mesh. The problem was that it just didn't really work in RE6. Here... it's a more gradual way of integrating it into the game. And it's, how to say this. It basically, it makes each level or each section feel unique, so it just doesn't feel repetitive. So to give you an idea, like, I won't, like, ruin story spoilers, but, like, the village, for example, it's essentially the same village from Resident Evil 4. You know, it's big, there's a lot of things you can get there, you're coming back and forth from it, so it kind of serves as your unofficial hub. As more and more things happen in the story, you know, and you clear the place out, you know, sometimes different enemies will show up to block whatever new area you just opened up or whatever new treasure you can now access, which I think is cool. I think my one problem with the village is that it's a little too big and it's a little too sectioned off. So, like, certain spots, you know, you'll have a tree or, like, a door that's... Well, I should say not a door, but a wall that you can't get around, so you have to, like, go all the way around to get to the item you're trying to get to, which I think is kind of annoying. Maybe if you, like, threw an enemy who came in and just smashed the door through, it's like, okay, I gotta kill this guy, and now I have, like, a quick route to this part. Might have worked a little bit better. That's my only real gripe with the village. Once you do the village stuff, you know, you head right to Castle Dimitrisk. I think I'm saying that right? Like, Castle Dimitrisk. Yeah. That area feels like the RE2 police station, where you're kind of, like, slowly moving through. You have to get keys to get past everything. Lady D and her daughters just kind of serve as, like, Mr. X. Lady D more so than her daughters, because, like, this is my other critique. I don't know if this counts as a spoiler, because I think they showed this in the trailers. But her daughters are basically just scripted bosses. So, like, you're just running from them, but it's very brief. At a certain point, you know, stuff will happen where you can finally hurt them for real. I think that's kind of a critique of mine. It's like, I think it would be cool, like, if you were, like, playing smart, or, like, if you were going gung-ho, maybe you could kill one of the daughters early to progress faster.
Yeah.
So that one just kind of feels a little, eh. Lady D herself's pretty cool. Again, I'm not going to get into story spoilers. Like, I like her boss fight. I like kind of the build-up to it. The little story that Mia's telling her daughter Rose kind of foreshadows the game, I guess you could say. Because, like, it's talking about these animals helping a little girl, and it's pretty obvious what animal represents who. So you got, like, a bat, that's Lady D. You got a fish, which is, like, the gross-looking hunchback guy. A spider, which is the doll lady, and then I think a horse, which is Heisenberg, and then a witch, which is the main bad guy, Mother Miranda. But yeah, nice fun. After Lady D and a second trip to the village, the next part is Lady Benetacio, the lady with the Annabelle doll, basically. And that whole part is straight PT. Like, there's no enemies you're fighting. It's just more psychological stuff, more puzzle-based. Like, I won't call the puzzles, like, sophisticated, if I'm being completely honest with you. It's like a step up over RE2, RE4 levels, but below OG, like, Resident Evil, where it was a little more cryptic. It's just there to kind of mess with you, give you a bit of anxiety as you're playing. Like, I wouldn't call it tough, exactly. More like confusing. Does that make sense? Because, like, it's not a very hard section in comparison to things before and after it.
Sure.
Yeah, I was just before we started recording, I was watching a friend of the show, Brandon, stream it, and yeah, I was watching that section, and yeah, in, like, more the ways than one, that's it's a very, very PT,
yeah,
sort of section going on there.
And that's what I mean. This is where I say, it's like, that's where, like, okay, that's cool. Like, I don't have to just fight Lycan or ghouls or spider people. I thought I was going to fight spider people there. So I thought that was a great way to just keep the game fresh, keep it from feeling repetitive. Cause, you know, I just played RE4 and, like, yeah, it's like, hey, kill the villagers. Hey, kill the cultists. Hey, kill the military guys. But it's the same thing over and over again. I'd say, like, I kind of was disappointed by the boss battle because it wasn't really one for her, but I guess because it's PT inspired, you kind of ruin the feel of that whole section if you made it into a, like, I'm gonna gun you down kind of thing, blah 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
Then next is Moreau. He's like this weird hunchback fish guy I don't know what else to describe.
Fish Hunchback.
Yeah, it's like if you combine Swamp Thing with, like...
He's like a mutant.
Yeah, like if you combine Swamp Thing with, like, Igor from, like, Frankenstein. His starts pretty simple, because I was assuming it was going to be the same thing. Like, oh, he's going to send his fish goons after me, and I'm going to have to fight those guys. But, like, you have a short section with the Lycan, and then he basically just transforms right off the bat. So it's like, there's no... you force him to transform kind of moment. He just does it. And he's, if you took the lake section from RE4, you know, Del Lago, the giant salamander thing.
Yeah, I saw videos.
And then, I was trying to think, I guess if you combined him with the nemesis type enemy from RE6, cause like you're basically just, or you know what, better comparison. Did you guys, you know, the Killer Croc level from Arkham Asylum?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's exactly what his is. It's like you're just avoiding him, trying not to get one-shotted, basically. The whole goal of his level is to get a new item and then just drain the area he's in for a proper boss battle. I think I like the boss battle a little bit more than the whole like getting around kind of thing, just because Ethan moves slow during that section. And I don't know how to say this better than like you have to watch the boss, because he'll just, like, trick you. So you'll see him go by, and you're like, okay, it's safe to go now, but he'll just double back and instantly kill you. So you have to kind of learn his pattern a bit before you proceed. I wouldn't call it, like, bad exactly, but definitely slow, especially after the PT section. But yeah, boss battle itself, pretty fun, cool. He does, like, this acid rain attack where you gotta, like, hide underneath something. I didn't know that at first, so, like, I ended up wasting a decent amount of health items trying to dodge him. But then, you know, killed him. He went all sad, and now I'm off to fight Magneto, Nicolas Cage, Heisenberg. Like, I don't know if anyone else gets these vibes, but, like, Heisenberg just screams pure Nick Cage to me from, like, the way he talks.
I gotta play it more.
To the way he, like, even looks, like... If you told me, like, Nicolas Cage was in this game as Heisenberg, I'd be like, I absolutely believe you, because that's Nicolas Cage. There's no way they didn't just base it off of him. True. From, like, his mannerisms to just the way he talks, he just screams Nick Cage. What was I going to say? Sorry. So I'm, like, right at him, so I'm assuming I only got a couple hours left, so excited for that.
Yeah, it's a shorter experience, I've heard, which is, that's right on par. Like, I don't know why people were, like, expecting anything. Like, RE is always, like, very run-based, sort of like
that. That's what I mean. Like, after playing RE4 just before, and, like, it took me 12 hours to beat RE4, and it felt really padded and long to me. I don't mind an 8 to 10-hour game, especially because so far it doesn't really feel padded outside of, you know, maybe some of the village sections. Especially because RE2 and 3 were a couple hours, easy. I could beat RE3 in under an hour. So it's like, yeah, this is fine. This is an optimal thing, because Resident Evil games are meant to be, like, replayed over and over again, so if it's not me spending 20 hours through this, I'm perfectly fine with that.
People don't get their icons on a map. They get, like, mad or something. They're like, oh, there's not thousands of icons on a map I have to...
Yeah, forget that.
Like, get. I'd rather just have, like, sounds like a curated kind of, like, experience where you're just going through it, you finish it. And it's very replayable.
That's what I mean. So. The game keeps you interested. It keeps you moving along. And I don't think there's anything that needs to be padded out. Like, I heard Heisenberg's, like, factory is probably the slowest part of the game. I don't know yet. Mm-hmm. I'll have to, like, try it out. But for the most part, I'm not really all that disappointed. One thing I'll say, did you, either of you play RE7?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Like, they bring over that funny, like, I don't know if I call it a mechanic exactly, but, like, you know, in RE7, if you remember, Ethan got murked pretty hard, so he's, like, really injured throughout most of the game. Like,
we were just talking about this, I think, where you're going.
Go ahead. So, like, they do the same thing here, right? So, like, right at the beginning, Wolf Guy bites his fingers off, so he's only got 3.
There we go.
It gets worse, though. When he gets to Lady's D, they string him up by his palms. And, like,
don't tell me, but
basically what I'm saying is, like, he goes through a lot of bodily harm and it
a lot of hand harm. Yeah, right?
Well, I mean, it's first person. That's the only thing they could show.
Yeah, that's the only way they can do
it. But like, it keeps carrying over, and like, I feel bad for Ethan because like every time I like point my gun, I look at my hands. I'm like, wait, when did that happen? I'm like, oh yeah. I think
he knew what he was getting into. Yeah. I can't feel bad for him.
I'd say the one thing that is funny. Remember in RE7, Mia chopped off his hand, and then they just stapled it back on, and it's functional. They kind of have a scene like that here, minus the staples, and it's both stupid but expected at the same time.
We were just talking. Yeah, I saw a clip online. He just puts it back, puts the juice on it, bro, and he's good to go.
Yeah. It's funny because in RE7, the implication was, and like some of the dialogue made it sound like Ethan was infected with the mold or whatever the virus was there, which made sense.
Yeah.
Here, I mean, I don't know if it's the same justification. Maybe there's a twist to it. It's just, it's dumb to watch him just pour chloroform on his hand, and then it's like, good as new. I'm like, you want to just...
He's like, all right, fuck.
You want to just regrow
why
your...
Why isn't this medical advance being, like, brought to the world, like, in this universe? Yeah,
I think it was worse in RE7, though, because I think there's a point where, like, or if you get injured enough, your leg will get chainsawed off, and then he could just do the same thing.
He's like, good as new. All right, got
Who needs herbs anymore?
Let me just pour this chloroform on it.
Yeah. But
he's got that gamer juice. Break that out.
There you go.
It's just G Fuel, like, right? Just pouring it down there.
G Fuel is made by Umbrella. But
they are making a Lady D G Fuel, though. I saw today.
What's it going to be, like, raspberry?
It's called
just
Maiden's,
a can with Maiden's her Blood. Face on it?
Yeah. No, it just has her on. It's called Maiden's Blood.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it going to be like an extra tall can or something?
I think it is like a tall
can.
Yeah.
That's what they should do. It should be like a fucking foot tall can.
Be dope.
Take the Lady D challenge. Finish it in 1 minute. Get 20% off your next G Fuel purchase.
Hey. Just sells itself.
Yeah. There you go.
And then I guess to wrap up the RE Village talk, game looks absolutely amazing on the PS5, excuse me. I'm running it on, I guess, performance mode, so I'm doing 60 frames per second, but I have, like, toggled it back to ray tracing and things like the water, the snow, everything around me just looks gorgeous, honestly. I think I did occasionally notice some pop-in when I go into a near area. It's, like, very brief, you know, where you, like, see a texture just kind of fall in, but I wouldn't call it exceptionally noticeable. You know, it's not like Final Fantasy VII where, like, Cloud's door is, like, this awkward 2D texture or something.
Yeah.
But looks great. Love the sound. I'm kind of thinking I want to get those three, like, Pulse headphones just to see how well it is with the sound. Just because I think certain things like the Lycan or the Ghouls work pretty well because they pop up out of different areas you wouldn't expect. So I'm assuming with 3D audio you could really catch that. I like the Duke, you know, the merchant character. I feel like there's some kind of twist coming with him. I don't know if he, like, betrays you or you find out he's someone important, just because unlike the merchant in RE4 who's just some random guy, what are you buying?
He's like, I got a bunch of shit in my trench coat.
I'll buy it at a high price, stranger. But him, he obviously knows a lot. He's kind of like becomes Ethan's, like, info broker, because he explains the plot to him. It's like, oh, they took your daughter because of this, and all the guys do that. And, like, Ethan says, like, why are you helping me? It's like, money, Ethan. Why wouldn't I help you, Mr. Winters? It's like, how do you know my name? You know, I think they're setting him up for something. Like, if he became the final boss, that'd be fucking hilarious, and I would love that. But he's a nice character. I like how they stream.
I thought you were going to say he's a nice guy, you know?
Yeah, until next week where it's like, spoilers, guys, he betrayed me. But
I think they should just have him eating like a hero, like every time. Just like,
you know, it's funny. So I almost wonder, like, he's like a big boy, but, like, you don't really see him, like, surrounded by food or eating. He's usually just smoking a cigar.
Yeah, yeah. Like, they need to have him, like, eating or something.
I mean, he cooks for you. Like, it's implied when he makes you.
Oh, he cooks for you.
Yeah, you can go hunting in this game.
Nice of him.
You can, like,
he is a nice guy.
You can go shoot a fish or some crow and then put them together into a dish.
And just give him a crow. Yeah. Like, yeah.
He'll make you some food and then he'll say, it's like, here you go, Ethan. Crow. Here's your half. It's like, what do you mean my half? It's I brought the ingredients.
Yeah, he takes half of your food.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I think that's the one thing that feels a little iffy is the, your health and defense upgrades, because in RE7, I forget how it worked, but I think you found certain items that just buffed you at certain points of the game, or if you took the time to solve a puzzle, they'll give it to you. Here, I wouldn't call the hunting bad exactly, but it almost feels like something they decided to throw in because they kind of just did
it.
Yeah,
like it's tacked on. That's what I'm getting from
you. Yeah, because like the way with health, I don't know how to say this in a cohesive way, but like where RE4 like showed me my health indicator in a certain way, so I had a good idea for what amount of damage attacks do. Here, unless I'm blocking, it feels like it takes 3 or 4 hits every single time to die from anything. So that may just be more how the health just isn't very informative. So it goes from green to yellow to orange to red, but it doesn't say caution or healthy or anything like that. So it's like, maybe there is more.
You're not sure.
Exactly. So maybe there is more to it I'm just not noticing, or maybe it's not a priority in standard mode. Maybe in hardcore, it's something where you really have to juggle your health. That's the other thing too. Blocking is like back from RE7, but it's helpful, I guess, but because I don't feel noticeable damage, I don't know that it actually helps. But like I said, it could be a thing where maybe I'm not up to an enemy that you have to stay away from or juggle, but everyone around me just feels like they do the same damage, bosses included.
Okay.
Wow. Unless they have like their one-hit kill attack, but those are like an easy read.
Yeah, like the visualization of like, or just you're not feeling like it getting like they're all the same, like you're saying.
Yeah, kind of. It's like I say, it could be better, but I think that could just be because of my difficulty choice. So, in hardcore or Village of Shadows, it could just be like, oh yeah, dude, you got to use your block button like all the time, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, RE Village, I dig it. Hopefully, I'll beat it in the next couple days. I think I'll try to do a second run of it. Not immediately, because I do want to go back to Nier and Returnal, but I could see myself coming back to play it just because I already see a speed run route in my brain, so I can already feel how to play this faster. So I'm excited to see how it goes and where it takes the series, I guess.
Mercenaries too, no?
Yeah, I think, I have to like look at the menu, but I think you unlock Mercenaries after you beat it, like you did RE4. Okay. But yeah, I'll almost definitely play that too. I love Mercenaries.
Yeah.
But, yep, that's all I got.
All right.
All right. Derek, you been playing anything else?
Mostly what you guys have been playing, we've talked about, Nier Replicant, what I said before, kind of like 13 hours-ish in. I think that's good. I'm going to make that kind of my main thing for right now. I just want to finish that. I just love that story, and that kind of world is very cool to me. Returnal, played that too. We talked about it before. I'm digging that. Like I said, I'm still at that stage where you were at, where you're like, ah, damn, like this game's hard, and hopefully I can just get that one run like you guys did. And, you know,
yeah. One tip I'll say about like all the long runs I've gone on, I've gotten I think it's like a vampire artifact or whatever, but it's an artifact that heals you. Every time you damage an enemy.
Ooh.
That's what I feel like I need.
Like if you get like a parasite or any type of artifact that's gonna be like passively healing you somehow, that's like very, very impactful on your run. So
yeah, because I feel like health. I don't know. The map kind of confuses me a little bit sometimes. I guess that's just me.
Yeah.
Being bad at, like...
Well, it's confusing with like the verticality. Yeah. Sometimes because it's like a little like 3D map. And you have to, like, spin it around to kind of figure out, like, what's above you and what's below you.
Yeah, I think that kind of, like, messes me up sometimes. Not really, like, it's just me not utilizing it correctly.
Right.
But, yeah, definitely I'm going to try and look for upgrades like that, it seems like.
Yeah, because even, like, you're always kind of working on upgrading your max health. But, it's really not that useful unless you have something that's going to be constantly healing you, because you could be at like 300% max integrity and you're going to be sitting there at like half health and it's going to take you, 5 health items to even heal yourself that
much.
Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. So it doesn't really even matter that you have like a good amount of health.
Right.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I'm going to keep playing it. Like I said, only like 5 hours in, definitely enjoying it. I'm just, like, super, like, I love gameplay. It, like, is king for me. So the gameplay in that, like you said, feels super snappy. Just very fluid animations and stuff, and it just feels really good to play. Good to shoot.
And I also say about like the boss fights. You know, as long as you're like staying calm, and like I know there's definitely going to be a lot of shit going on, but as long as you prioritize dodging, you know, they're not too bad, really.
The dodges, really iframes too that I'm trying to like use, where you can kind of.
Well, certain amount of, certain like energy beams that you can dodge through.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
And there's some that you can't, so you have to recognize like which color projectiles you can dodge through and which ones you have to just dodge completely. And so,
I will say, coming from like Returnal back to like Near Replicant's like bullet hell stuff, you're like, oh my god, is like nothing to me.
Yeah.
So. But digging that, I'm going to keep on digging into it. I've actually just been playing a lot of Monster Hunter, going through this new content, just racking up hours in that. I just love the loop in that game of just getting new shit all the time and new monster parts. And so the Hunter rank is uncapped. I'm close to 40 right now, so I'll be able to fight. I fought two of the new monsters that they came out with, the Chameleon and Kushala Diora. And I think the last one is... I can't remember. It's another... Teostra is the last one. So waiting to hit 40, and then I think
Does Kushala and Teostra feel relatively different from the world versions, or
no? Not too much. I think, like, we've always been saying that Rise is a little bit more accessible, a little bit more easy. It feels a little easier, I would say. I don't know if that's just the weapon I'm using. I'm able to dodge and just use a long sword.
Right, but is their, like, behavior more or less the same than it is in World?
Yeah. And more or less same moveset and stuff. Kushala was not... It wasn't too hard. I guess just from being... When you're in a party, like, it's not... I feel like it's not as hard if you're... I guess the people I would match with are super good. They're always Japanese, and they're just amazing. Other than that, not too many different changes, I think, with the upgrade. I didn't like do the voucher thing where I could change my character. I don't feel like I need to, but I know that was like a sore point with people. So I'm just waiting for, I know this next May update, you're gonna be able to like finish the story now. I'm just gonna keep plugging away in that, maybe try a different weapon or something. But I'm getting pretty good with the longsword, though, so.
What was that, that weapon with the crazy, like, viral clip where the dude's, like,
flying? Dude, the gun lance, bro. Gun lance. Like, that's what I used in World, too. That was my main. that was insane. People just, like, put the picture of, what was that, like, Studio Ghibli?
Kiki's Delivery Service.
Yeah. That was, like, the one thing someone put in there. That was crazy, though. They're always doing insane stuff. I don't know how you do that shit. That's all I've been really playing, though. Nothing more to add on.
What's the hour count looking like for Rise?
I'm almost up to 70 now, so I'm just looking to break 100 soon. I'm going to keep playing that. I think it's just great that I have it on my Switch. I don't know. Every game that comes out that I'm like in love with on my Switch, I play a lot more because I'm able to just... kind of relax and play it and have something on TV, and I don't know, it's like a comfort thing for me, I guess, but I don't know, it works out. But
fair enough.
Good game too. Yeah, that's pretty much it for me, though. Like I said, I'm gonna go back into Nier Replicant. I think I'm just gonna try and finish that first and then hit these other ones. I want to play Resident Evil 2, got that on my plate, so we'll see how it kind of
plays out.
Are you
going to go for the full Monty with Nier and get all the endings? Or?
Yeah, I think so. I want to. I think so.
Is it a lot like Automata?
How many playthroughs is it? Yeah.
I think it's ultimate ending is ending E again. But, I don't think the playthroughs vary as much as they do in Automata. And I know there's like a bit of like a grinding element to get all the endings in Nier Replicant, where you gotta like get all the weapons and like stuff like that.
All right, yeah, we'll see. Yeah. You know, I'm enjoying it enough where I'll just keep playing it or something. That's it for me, though.
All right. Then that's going to do it for episode 20.
All right.
Cool.
And, yeah, you can follow us on our socials at The Uncanny Valley on Instagram. Follow us on there. Check us out on Twitter at UncannyV. Send us a tweet if you want to send a question in. Maybe we'll talk about it on the show. Send us some feedback. Yep, hit us up on there. You can listen to us on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you devour podcasts. And hey, if you like the show, do us a favor. Give us a little cosign. Recommend us to your friends, family, loved ones, anybody with ears. And yeah. Get the word out there. You just want to teach one. Tell your pappy, tell your grandpappy. And can't forget about the grandpappy. You can't just tell the pappy.
That's what I mean. I was just saying, tell your grandpappy.
Great grandpappy.
He's got nothing to do.
What's he doing? What's he got going on?
Come on. Put some headphones on and listen to some podcasts about video games.
Yeah, just hit play.
That's all you got to do, Grandpa.
Like, what? Okay. All right. Are you winning? All right, and we'll talk at you next time.
All right, see everybody later.
Peace.